Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Tonight we're going to return to Revelation chapter 20. We're going to pick up at verse 7 tonight. If you have a study guide, it will be on pages 121 and 122 in your study guide. While you find your place, I will just take us back to last week and recover and kind of go over again from last week where we were and what we went over. We saw last week. We saw where God had, He had cast in, the week before He had tied up He had tied up Satan and He had thrown him into the bottomless pit, and judgment was given to God and was given to the church. Christ had came down, He had set up His kingdom, He had established His capital in Jerusalem, the church was there to rule and to reign with Him, and Satan had been locked away for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. That's where we're going to pick up tonight, beginning with verse 7 of Revelation chapter 20. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and were compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Well, may God add blessing to the reading of His Word tonight. As we previously noted, Satan and his demon hordes had been imprisoned. They had been thrown into the abyss. That is where they were locked away for 1,000 years, for a millennium. In which time, over that 1,000 years, the Lord Jesus Christ ruled from His reign, from His throne in Jerusalem. And there with Him were the saints that had came down from heaven. Now understand also, there were also saints, what we call tribulation saints. Those people that were alive during the tribulation period that had been saved, that had not been killed. Now they also were there ruling as well. But think about something with the millennium. Nowhere in God's Word do you see where anyone died of a natural death during the millennium. Now think about that. You hear a lot of talk about the millennial reign of Christ. You hear a lot of talk about that 1,000 years and the bliss and the beauty that it's going to be for Jesus to be in control and reigning everything. But nowhere in God's Word do you see where a person dies of a natural death during that 1,000 years. It is realistically possible to understand the millennium and to see that there will be no natural death during that 1,000 years. Now we know those that came down from heaven, we can understand that. Because they have already came up, they have received a glorified body, they have been sanctified, and they are coming down with the Lord to rule and to reign. But those that were saved during the tribulation period and had not died, neither will they die of a natural death. During that time, these people will be procreating. They will have children. And those children will grow up and they will have children. Now think about how many possible generations there could be living in Jerusalem and living in that area where that reign of God in that area worldwide, where all of that is taking place. Think about how many generations there are going to be there. And those who are procreated, those generations that come out of those tribulation saints, they have a natural sin nature. Because they have not received the glorified body and they have not been sanctified. They still hold that sin nature. So, I say all of that to say this. When we look at God's Word and we see where the devil is going to come back to deceive people, the question often gets asked, well, who is going to be deceived? If it's going to be the church that comes back from heaven and all of the Old Testament saints and all of the tribulation saints, and they have been saved and born again, and they've gotten their glorified bodies, and they've been sanctified, who is the devil going to deceive? He is going to deceive the generations that have procreated out of and came from those tribulation saints that were saved but never had a glorified, sanctified body. They will still have a sin nature. And they will be living during this 1,000-year millennium. Those people are going to be the ones that the devil comes back to deceive. That's a scary thought. That is a very scary thought. Here we are, we're living in a utopia, if you will. We're living in a blissful time where God is personally in charge of everything in the world. He is calling the shots across and everybody is in lockstep. Everybody is doing everything that the Lord wants because the Lord is in control. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is going to be loosed out of prison. He's going to be turned loose. Now, God didn't do this by accident. God didn't let him out of that abyss. God didn't turn him loose by accident. You see, those people have to make a choice. They've had an opportunity to live under the reign of Christ for a millennium. And they have experienced firsthand Jesus Christ on this earth. And they have to choose who they're going to follow. Now, if you want a really, really good comparison of this, go back to when Jesus was on the earth. Go back to his ministry when he was here. People followed Jesus. People walked with him. People talked with him. People did all kinds of things around Jesus. They wanted to be a part of him. They wanted him to be a part of their life. They wanted everything going on and taking place and moving in their life, they wanted Jesus to be there and be in control and in charge of it, but they would never make a decision to follow Him. They wanted everything that they could get from the Lord, but they had absolutely no reason in their life. They would not make a decision to follow Him. That is the exact same scenario that many of these in the millennial reign will do with Christ. They are benefiting from being there with Christ. They are benefiting from being under His reign. They are benefiting from seeing everything with Jesus and everything about Jesus. But they won't make a decision. They won't make a decision to follow Him. They won't make a decision to be saved. I'm not saying all of them, but there are a great many that will not make that decision. And because they're going along, just riding along, on Jesus and riding along on the authority of Christ and everything that's being done. Verse 8 says, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. That's not talking about a flat earth. That's talking about the compass, the north, south, east, and west. In other words, the devil's deception is going to be worldwide. So these people, this generation of people, are going to be around the world and the devil is going to go about deceiving them. He is going to be pulling the same stunts with this crowd of people that he's been pulling with folks since the days of Adam and Eve. He's going to be telling them God doesn't mean what he says. He's going to be telling them God's not really going to be that kind of a God. He's going to be telling them God's not really mad at you. God's not going to judge you. Jesus is already here. You need to just come and follow me and live your life the way you want to live your life and let everything else just fall into place. The old devil is slick with those things. He's going to be telling the same tales to that crowd that he's telling with folks today. He's going to be telling the young folks then, you don't need Jesus. It don't matter. He's already there. You know he's there. You don't need him. Don't worry about him. That's exactly what the devil is telling the young people today. That's why they're so tied up and confused in everything that's going on. That's why many of them don't even know whether they're boys or girls anymore. Because the devil's got in their head and messed them up so badly that they're falling for all of this nonsense that's going on in the world. I had some folks try to tell me not long ago, well, it's no different than when we were young'uns. The devil was doing the same thing then. Hey, I remember when I was 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, I never had a problem understanding whether I was a boy or not. And I grew up with cousins and girls and cousins in my family and went to school with girls, and I don't remember of a girl ever having a problem of realizing she was a girl. I never had a problem understanding which restroom I was supposed to go in or which locker room I was supposed to go in. I never remember a girl having a problem knowing which restroom or which locker room she was supposed to go in. I never remember seeing the depth of confusion and deception. Did we make our share of bad decisions? You better believe it. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. But I'm talking about out and out deception of people. We live in a day today where deception is rampant. There are folks that are older than me today who don't know what bathroom to go use. Now, I'm being honest. There are. They're not sure. Now, I remember when I was in school, if you was a boy and you went in the girls' bathroom, you got a whooping. You got took to the principal's office and he brought the paddle out and you got it right there. No questions asked. And then your mom and daddy got called and you got it when you got home. You didn't do that. And I remember if the girls decided that they wanted to go into the boys' bathroom, they got the same thing. And it was much worse for a girl because she walked away with a bad reputation. The devil don't care about that. He's out to deceive people. It doesn't matter if it was in the Garden of Eden or it doesn't matter if it's in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 8. He's going to be out to deceive people. He is there today. The Bible goes on to talk about Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog are some interesting studies there. Gog and Magog are the names of people. Actually, they're the names of an invading force that's going to assault Israel during the tribulation period. Now, if you go back to Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, you can read more about this. But during the tribulation, as a matter of fact, it is believed that this is kind of what's going to kick off the tribulation. When the church gets raptured, there's going to be a mounting force that's going to come down against Israel, and there's going to be a great big fight that's going to take place, and it's going to look like Israel is outnumbered by all kinds of nations that have formed and come together. in the Valley of Magog, and they're all coming against Israel. And while all of this is going on and taking place, the church is getting raptured out. And when the church gets raptured out, then God steps in and He confuses all of these people, and they turn their weapons on one another instead of on Israel. Well, that same name, those names are applied by John here, Gog and Magog. It is about the people and the leaders. John gives them the title for the enemy of God's people. And Magog, here's something that's a little, that may be of some interest to you. Magog is the name of a people that goes all the way back to the descendants of Noah. Actually, they are the descendants of Noah's grandson. Genesis chapter 10, verse 2. If you want something to look up there. They later became known as the Sixthians. Now, if you know anything about your New Testament, there are that word Sixthians comes into play a couple of times in Jesus' teachings. And if you never really knew who they were and what they represented, now you know that they go all the way back to the descendants of Noah, but they are an ungodly crowd. They are a crowd of people the devil uses to deceive, and they are the enemies of Israel. They are rebels who pull together and join forces with Gog. And they bring a final war into human history. The final conflict, if you will. How many people are we talking about? John says plainly, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. You've all been to the ocean. Think about reaching down and picking up a handful of sand, just a handful, and trying to count the grains of sand in your hand. Now, drop that back on the ground and look as far as you can see down the shoreline. And think about how many granules of sand. That is an illustration that John used to describe the number of people that their hearts will be turned against God during this day and time. And it's an amazing number, because these are people who have lived under the glorious reign of Jesus Christ for their entire lives. They have known none of the miseries of the tribulation. They have known nothing but the stories that have came from their ancestors about the tribulation. And they have heard nothing but the good graces of God of being saved out of that trouble and out of that tribulation. Yet they ignore it. Now, the first thing that many of us want to do tonight is we want to say, oh my goodness, how can they do that? Oh goodness, how could somebody live through that and then turn down God? How can somebody live through the testimony of a family member being saved by grace through faith tonight and turn away from God? How can somebody live through watching someone's life be turned from drugs and alcohol and prostitution and immorality and have a testimony of Jesus Christ moving in their life? How can they see that happen? And today, in the day of grace that we live in, how can they ignore God? The same deception that takes place in the lives of people today is the same deception that will be taking place in the lives of these people during the millennial reign. But they will not be fooling God. You see, they'll be going along and they'll be taking advantage of everything they can take advantage of. They'll be living on the good graces and the mercies of Jesus Christ. They'll be taking advantage of being included in everything that's going on around the world, and they won't think twice about doing it, and they will look just like the church member. They'll look just like the blood-bought child of God. They will look like any Christian that you'll want. They'll talk like them. They will dress like them. They will act like them. They will be like them. Until the end, when the devil is released. And then he comes after them. And they say, well, it's my time now. I'm going to follow and I'm going to join Gog and Magog. And we're going to take back the world. And the Lord allows this to happen so that people show their true heart. You know, tonight, God is that same merciful God. And He is allowing people to enjoy the graces and the mercies of His love. And He's allowing people to enjoy the blessings of the Holy Spirit being handled, taking care of things on this earth. And He enjoys watching folks take part in all of this and be a part of it. But He knows where our hearts are tonight. He knows where our hearts are. He knows if our hearts are truly turned toward Him or if our hearts are turned in another direction tonight. He knows whether we truly want to see people saved or whether we want to see something else going on. He knows our heart, whether it is with Him or whether it is with the world tonight. And in this day that we're talking about here at the millennial, we go back to verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and they compassed the camp of the saints and the beloved city. In other words, they surrounded the Christians. They surrounded Jerusalem. They surrounded the born-again children of God. Everywhere, think of every city around the world, and you think of these people that Satan has pulled together and turned into an army, and they have surrounded the Christians, and they've even surrounded Jerusalem, where Jesus is there sitting on the throne. So they've got everything all surrounded, and the numbers look good in the eyes of Satan. The numbers look great. He's getting ready to wipe out everything once and for all. Now, I don't know about you, but I would think the old devil would have learned his lesson by now. He thought he had Jesus whooped when it was at Calvary on the cross. He thought that he had this thing done when they crucified Jesus and he died on the cross. What the old devil didn't catch on to was when Jesus said, "It is finished," he wasn't talking about him, he was talking about the devil. Because 3 days later, when the devil wasn't looking, Jesus got up and rolled the stone away and walked out. You'd have thought the old devil would have learned his lesson by then. But he's coming back for more. And he's bringing a whole host of multitudes and millions with him. And here they are. Here they are. Surrounding the Christians, surrounding the church, surrounding the Lord Himself. And then it happens. And fire come down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Just as God devoured Sodom and Gomorrah. Just as Elijah called down fire from heaven against the Baal worshippers. Just as the angels of God had called down all of the judgments of the tribulation. God sent down His judgment and devoured them. Not one Christian lost their lives. Not a hair on their head was singed. But all of the Gog and Magog were devoured. In one way, that is an ending that will make you want to stand up and cheer. Another way of thinking about it, it was an ending that would make you want to stand up and cry. Because tonight we have to realize, if we as the church don't fall in love with Jesus and don't fall in love with the folks who are lost and undone without Him, it is their end that we just read. Our friends, our family members, our neighbors, our loved ones, those whom we think a great deal of, those who may be morally pure, those who may be influential in the community, those who may have all kinds of possible benefits for being servants in the kingdom of God, they have nothing to look forward to but being devoured if they're not saved. And it is the church that has been tasked with that tonight in our generation. In this day, those folks have had 1,000 years to make their decision for Christ. And they chose not to. They sealed their faith. Tonight, there are people out here among us that are sealing their faith. They're telling God, I don't want you. Leave me alone. They're selling out to the deception of the devil. And make no mistake, I really believe that there is a line that we cross. I really believe there is a time when God extends His grace to us for salvation for the last time, and when we push it away, our conscience is seared as if it were seared with a hot iron, and we no longer have the sensitivity of the conviction of the Holy Spirit for our lives. I really do sincerely believe that is in the Word of God, and I believe it applies to people in this generation tonight. Are we going to let people continue to go down that road without a warning from God? It was Charles Spurgeon who once said, if they want to go to hell and they insist on going to hell, let them crawl over our bodies to get there. It is a very real thing. God's judgment is a very real thing. But then we come down to the next and in this process. And the devil, Satan, the one that had deceived them, he watched everything come apart. He watched it all to be destroyed. He watched it all to be devoured. He watched all of the people that he had deceived. He himself then was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. You see, until this moment, the devil himself had never tasted hell. He had been locked away in the abyss, which is a dark area. But until now, the devil had not tasted of the flames of hell. But God cast him in. He cast him into the same place where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever. Now as we move on, we're going to learn a little bit more about these millennial people who were deceived. Before tonight, I just want us to leave with a sobering look at the judgment of God. The beauty of it for those who follow and those who know Jesus. And the harsh reality of it. For those who, maybe you know someone who doubts that God will punish, who doubts that God will actually devour, who doubts that God will actually put an end to the rebellion that comes against Him. these verses tonight are verses you may want to mark and share with them. Because they are some very real and very specific points that prove that God will make an end to all that rebel against Him. All rebel. It's something for us to take seriously tonight. It's something for us to understand where God stands and understand where He's going to be and how He's going to be there and what it's all going to end up with in the future. How far down the road that is, I don't know. But I do know this. As certain as I know God's Word is inerrant, infallible, and inspired, it will happen because God said it. May God help us to have the sensitivity and the conviction to be the body of Christ in the day that we live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for all that have came this way tonight to hear it. Heavenly Father, I pray that You will lead us, guide us, direct us in everything that we do and everything that we say. Lord, I pray that we would have a burden, a conviction to reach those in this community who don't know You. To get the Word of God into their homes and into their lives. From then, it's between the Holy Spirit and them to the decisions they make. But God, let us not let You down in delivering Your Word to their hearts. Bless those that have came tonight. Bless each family that is represented. Lead, guide, and direct us in everything is said and done. We'll be careful to praise, honor, and glorify You, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.